Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Another good show for you today. Coming up later on in the program, a review of the new science fiction thriller Source Code, directed by Duncan Jones and starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Michelle Monaghan. But right now, on the musical side of things, we are paying tribute to the late, great Elizabeth Taylor and spotlighting music from some of her films. And we're going to begin from one of her most famous, biggest, most lavish movies, and that is, of course, Cleopatra, with music by Alex North. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Music from Cleopatra, written by Alex North. Of course, that was a film in which Taylor co-starred with her soon-to-be husband, Richard Burton, who she would marry twice, actually. And she co-starred in quite a few movies with Burton over the course of her career. One of those was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Arguably their finest collaboration together, which also featured a score by composer Alex North. Let's take a listen. music from the great Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, written by Alex North. Of course, not every collaboration that Burton and Taylor had together was a successful one. One of their more notorious flops was a movie called Boom, written by Tennessee Williams, no less. Let's take a listen to some of that score by composer John Barry. Music written for the film Boom by composer John Barry. Taylor won an Oscar for starring alongside Lawrence Harvey and husband Eddie Fisher in a film called Butterfield 8. That one featured a score by Bronislaw Kaper. Let's take a listen to a piano version of the main theme. Thank you. That's composer Bronislaw Kaper himself on the piano, playing the theme from the film Butterfield 8. Taylor also starred in the sprawling drama Giant, directed by George Stevens. She was in that movie with Rock Hudson and James Dean, and it featured an appropriately large score by Dmitri Tiomkin. Let's take a listen.
Oh,
You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting music from the films of the late Elizabeth Taylor on the program today. Moving from one epic score to another, this is music by Miklos Rosa, written for the film Ivanhoe. Take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music written for the film Ivanhoe by composer Miklos Rosa. In 1985, Taylor starred in a lavish television miniseries called North and South. She was one of many movie stars that were in that series, and it featured an appropriately sweeping score by composer Bill Conti. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
music written by Bill Conti for the television miniseries North and South. Interestingly enough, Taylor played a character named Madame Conti in that series. Next up, wrapping up the musical side of things, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor collaborated in 1965 on a film called The Sandpiper, featuring a really nice score from composer Johnny Mandel. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music written for the film The Sandpiper by composer Johnny Mandel. I do hope you enjoyed the music on the program today. Now time to move along to this week's movie review, the new film Source Code. Director Duncan Jones made a strong initial impression on audiences in 2009 with his intelligent moving science fiction film Moon. Now he's returned with Source Code, another sci-fi flick which proves that Jones is the real deal. Our story centers on Captain Coulter Stevens, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who finds himself in a puzzling situation. He's on a train, sitting next to a woman named Christina, played by Michelle Monaghan, who seems to know him. The only puzzling thing is that she keeps calling him Sean. Stevens catches a glimpse of his reflection and is alarmed to discover that he looks like someone else. As Stevens is attempting to put the pieces together, a bomb goes off and the train explodes. Stevens suddenly finds himself placed inside of a small capsule, where he's informed by a superior officer, played by Vera Farmiga, via video screen, that his job is to figure out who bombed the train and why. Using advanced source code technology, which, for lack of a simpler explanation, permits a person to engage in a very limited variation on time travel, Stevens must travel back to the train and inhabit Sean's body again and again until he solves the mystery of who bombed the train. He's only able to work within the same 8-minute window before the train explodes each time. Additionally, he's working on a deadline. Another larger explosion is being planned and cannot be thwarted until Stevens is able to determine the identity of the bomber. Fortunately, Stevens is able to retain memories of each trip he takes, allowing him to put new pieces together with each journey into the past. There were multiple moments in Source Code which caused me to breathe a sigh of relief. Not because the hero had just avoided some nasty accident, but because the screenplay had so deftly evaded some obvious pitfalls. There are numerous opportunities for the film to run off the rails in a bid for cheap thrills or emotional manipulation, but it stays true to its premise, slippery as the nature of that premise may be, and refuses to compromise itself at any point. What a nice surprise it is to find a movie which carefully considers the consequences of everything it does and refuses to insult our intelligence. Of course, I don't suppose it'll be as much of a surprise to those who have seen the aforementioned Moon. While the science fiction elements of Source Code are a bit more convoluted than those of that film, if you can accept the movie's basic principles, you'll discover a film which provides terrific entertainment as a thriller and leaves you with some nifty notions to chew on as you leave the theater. The film begins as a lean thriller built on a gimmicky yet entertaining sci-fi premise, as Captain Stevens returns again and again to the doomed train attempting to find clues. But before long, his perspective begins to change and the scope of the film begins to widen. When he begins his investigation, Stevens regards the individuals on the train as some sort of computer program, simulated versions of real-life figures from the recent past. But as he spends more time around them, he can't help but begin to feel they're real human beings. There's no scientific revelation which fuels this notion, just an emotional current generated by the fact that the passengers on the train appear to be real, living humans in every single way. After a while, Stevens not only becomes obsessed with solving the mystery, but with saving the passengers on the train, a notion that military scientist Dr. Rutledge, played by Jeffrey Wright, finds entirely pointless. It would seem that Rutledge is correct from a scientific point of view. There's nothing that can be done to alter the past, since what Stevens is engaging in is not actually time travel, but rather a complex interactive experience based on recent events. Reality is one thing, what feels like reality is another. I will not spoil what develops as the film progresses, but suffice it to say that the movie has a lot of tricks up its sleeve, none of which seem unreasonable or frustrating. With each new development comes a series of new ideas, scientific and ethical, to consider, and it's terrific to observe the lovely, economical manner in which the film outlines and explores these notions. The film is no less complex than Christopher Nolan's Inception, but the running time is considerably shorter because the film finds ways of getting things across without resorting to countless speeches about why things are happening the way they are happening. In this case, it's unlikely that many are going to complain that Source Code is confusing, simply because the film works just fine on a basic thriller level and only requires you to consider the larger ideas to the extent that you're interested in them. That's not a knock on Nolan's excellent sci-fi outing, which offers a structure which is fascinating in its own right. However, Nolan's film requires its characters to consider its ideas and explore them for the audience, thus emphasizing its complex nature, while Source Code frequently allows the audience to do that for themselves. While a couple of items seem a little wobbly under close inspection, for the most part attentive viewers will find themselves rewarded and stimulated by this film's deceptively intricate design. Gyllenhaal makes a sturdy lead and proves more persuasive as the hero of a cerebral thriller like this than as the rough-and-tumble protagonist of Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. Michelle Monaghan is warm and appealing as the woman Stevens begins to develop feelings for as the film progresses. She seems like the world's kindest, most forgiving person until you recall she cannot remember all of Stevens' ungainly actions over the course of the film. Vera Farmiga essays another conflicted character to compelling, subtle effect as Stevens' superior officer, and Jeffrey Wright is predictably terrific as a scientist who seems to veer between giddy and agitated from scene to scene. Go see this movie. Not only is Source Code an excellent film, well worth your $9, it's the sort of film we're seeing less and less of these days. An intelligent, mature thriller based on an original screenplay which offers an emphasis on ideas rather than explosions, though you get plenty of those, too. I can't wait to see what Mr. Jones delivers next. I give this one a rating of 3.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. Right now, we allow Mr. John Lennon to take us out. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later. People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. All kinds of advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall, don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball.
Just had to